Rekas alla ponedil och blir en razon på Berlin och jag prisholte benema. Rekas alla uvitor och kocilu is razisor och jag prisholte benema. Tež mene pirmanula, tež mene pirpela. manula, tež mene pidvela, tež mene modoz umrozom uzvela, tež mene pimanula, tež mene pidvela, tež mene modo hujlo mene zrobela.
And from the United Kingdom, a brand new group, only been around about a year, and they have hit the ground running with a lot of gigs and a recently released EP that was released just last November. And that tune from their EP, a contemporary, very contemporary rendition of a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Tij Mene Pidmanula. They call theirs Tij Taranta. And we'll be hearing all about the Kovkozeks. I had the very good fortune to speak with a couple of the members of that incredible band last month, shortly before they released their EP. And I'll be sharing that interview with you early in the new year. Meanwhile, do hope you enjoyed that tune, Tij Taranta, by the Kovkozeks. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі і також чудову українську музику. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me once again on the show. We've got a great program lined up for you. We dug into the Nash Holos audio archives for a blast from the past. Hanukkah just began on this past Tuesday, and it'll be going until Wednesday. So I thought we'd take another look at how Ukrainians, and Ukrainian Jews in particular, observe and celebrate Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. As well, we've got an interview with Mike Burek, who is a New Yorker, recently launched two podcasts, and I'm sure you'll find that very interesting. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and of course, great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, we have a song by a Ukrainian group called Svitozare, and the song is Amerytskiy Kraj, America Land.
На край світа, як тоді вітер в полі літа, гей, в Америцький край. Лем жаль митя, моя хижа, лем жаль митя, моя хижа, солом'яна жаль. Лем жаль митя, моя хижа, лем жаль митя, моя хижа, солом'яна жаль. Ой, жаль ми вас, звідси сиві, штом плекава з бестри зими. Гей, який ми варжай. Хоч бідую, не поїду, хоч бідую, не поїду в Америцький край. Хоч бідую, не поїду, хоч бідую, не поїду в Америцький. Митя, моя страна, де живут мамичка з няньо? Гей, якими важаль? То іначе бим поїхав, то іначе бим поїхав в Америцький край. То іначе бим поїхав, то іначе бим поїхав в Америцький. Світа, як тоді вітер в полі літа, гей, вам. свежа, соломяная жаль. Лен жаль митя моя хижу, лен жаль митя моя хижу, соломяная жаль.
Order your tickets today for Canada's National Ukrainian Festival August Long Weekend in Dauphin, Manitoba. For over 50 years, CNUF has showcased the very best in Ukrainian culture through music, food, and of course, incredible dancing. Get your early bird weekend passes right now for only $85. Your weekend pass is your passport to a full weekend of activities and live ongoing entertainment. Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, August Long Weekend in Dauphin, Manitoba. For more information, see cnuf.ca.
That was Tuti Tam, which translates as here and there, a reflection of their name as to where they are located, which is pretty much right across Canada here and there, but they are firmly rooted in Saskatchewan. Tuti Tam and a song from their first album that was called Cheyesh to Polichko, The Unplowed Field. Coming up next, more CanCon for you. This group is from Toronto. They are called Zubirivka and a song called Chorna Kura, the Black Hen.
Як ішов я з Дебрецена додому, зайшла в мені чорна кура дорогою.
Іде, іде чорна кура додому, не заважай, не заважай по дорозі нікому.
ішов я з Дебрецена до Хусту. Зайшов вже я вишиваною хустку.
Іде, іде чорна кура до дому, не заваджай, не заваджай по дорозі нікому.
Зайшла в мені чорна кура дорого.
Ой, чи жива, чи здорова я мила, чим би вона дорого тиша йшла.
Як ішов я з Дебрецена
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Hanukkah is a joyous holiday celebrated every year by Jews around the world with the lighting of candles or wicks in olive oil on a candelabra called a menorah, or Chanukiah in modern Hebrew. Traditional Hanukkah treats include potato latkes, called pliatske or derune in Ukrainian, and sufgoniot, donuts with jam, called pampushke in Ukrainian. There is also a tradition to give Hanukkah gelt, coins, and more recently, gifts to children. And there is a special Hanukkah dreidel game. A dreidel is a top, or dziga, in Ukrainian. Hanukkah is actually a relatively minor Jewish holiday. There are no religious restrictions on work, other than a few minutes after lighting the candles. In North America, however, as a symbol of Jewish identity, Hanukkah has assumed a place equal to Passover, largely due to its proximity on the calendar to Christmas. As a result, in this part of the world, Hanukkah has integrated several Christmas-related customs, in particular, extensive gift-giving and Hanukkah parties. The lit menorah is placed in windows or at the doors of Jewish houses during the festival alongside neighboring Christmas lights. In Ukraine during Soviet times, Judaism could not be practiced freely, so there was no way to buy a menorah. It wasn't even possible to see a menorah in museums, as it was considered a forbidden religious item. Yet the tradition was kept secretly. Even Jewish prisoners in Soviet jails and concentration camps stubbornly sought a way to fulfill the commandment. If they were not able to find candles or a vessel to fill with oil, they made Hanukkah lights out of a half potato with sunflower oil and wicks out of cotton. Hanukkah, known as the Festival of Dedication and also the Festival of Lights, commemorates the victory of the Maccabees over the Syrians in 165 BCE. The Syrian invaders wanted Jews to renounce their god and turn to idolatry. Hanukkah also honors the memory of the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. The temple had been defiled by the Syrians, who, among other things, erected a statue of Zeus in the temple. An integral part of the temple service was keeping the lights of the golden menorah burning all the time. Only high-quality olive oil produced by priests in ritual purity was acceptable to be used in this service. The tradition tells us that when the temple was recaptured by Jews, only one small vessel of consecrated oil was found, enough for just one day. The oil was immediately lit, and miraculously, it sufficed for 8 days until new oil was prepared. Jewish sages established Hanukkah as a festival for this length of time to commemorate the miracle and the triumph against religious oppression. Today, as in years past, lighting the menorah is the essence of celebrating Hanukkah. Every Hanukkah night, Jewish families get together to light the menorahs, with oil to commemorate the miracle of the temple, or with usual candles. Each night of the festival, an additional candle is lit until, on the last night, 8 candles are burning. Each candle has its own special meaning. On the first night, a light for freedom. On the second night, a light for tolerance. On the third night, a light for peace. On the fourth night, a light for courage. On the fifth night, a light for knowledge. On the sixth night, a light for charity. On the seventh night, a light for responsibility. On the eighth night, a light for continuity. Today, Jews in Ukraine celebrate Hanukkah freely. The Jewish community gatherings on Hanukkah demonstrate the triumph of the deeply held belief in the Almighty over totalitarianism. Just as with the first Hanukkah, faith triumphed over idolatry and oppression. On this Hanukkah, as on every Hanukkah, Jews wish for each other to be blessed with light and peace in all homes and for peace around the world. Shalom.
Join us again for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nashville's Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative.
moja.
And a popular Ukrainian group by the name of Express, and a song about a lovely lady from the Carpathian Mountains, the Hutsul region, by the name of Ksenia. Express with Hutsulka Ksenia. Coming up next, Ot Vinta, with a song called Lublu, I Love You.
Стривай, моя мила, бо як ніколи твердо впевнений я, що вирішатиму так, і я все точно зроблю, я в почуттях усе довкола втоплю. Бо я тебе. Горлянка клякне, а триклятий язик до слів таких ще досі не звик. Прикро, та ні кроку назад. Я ж на сцені, наче мача супер-пупер-герой. Валюм гітари, овердрайв, на повну силу врублю. Надривом гландів я прохриплю, що я тебе. Дарма досить. Остання спроба, чи то пан, чи пропав, просто ближче до серця тебе пригорну і на вухо тихенько скажу, що я тебе люблю. Я тебе люблю, люблю. Я тебе люблю, 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 люблю. Я тебе люблю, 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 люблю. Я тебе люблю.
Mike Burek produces and hosts two podcasts for the Ukrainian community worldwide. He's based in New York, and like Nash Holos, his podcasts are in English, so they're available to the broader North American audience, as well as English speakers elsewhere in the world, thanks to the wonders of modern technology. His podcasts are about technology and genealogy, two very different topics, although equally fascinating. Recently, Mike emailed Nash Holos, and he and I connected on Skype, and today he kindly joins us on Skype to talk about his two fantastic podcasts. Mike, welcome to Nash Holos Vitayu.
Thanks, Paulina, for inviting me to come on your show.
Well, it's great to have you, and thanks again for inviting me on to yours. It's nice to be able to do this cross-promotion. Let our listeners know about each other. Always a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So you recently launched two podcasts, and so I was just curious about your background. This is kind of a post-retirement gig for you.
Yes, it is. I just retired at the end of 2016 from a 40-year career in publishing and advertising, okay, working with a number of companies, including the New York Times, McGraw-Hill, and then most recently with a technology professional society by the name of IEEE, Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers.
Okay, so you know all about advertising, so there's sort of a little bit of a connection to broadcasting.
Yep.
So did you have any broadcast training before you took on your podcast?
No, it was always something I wanted to get into. And I've listened to enough podcasts over the years, but no formal training in it. And so I just played around with it a little bit and decided to take the plunge.
Well, and that is proof positive that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything, especially these days. There is absolutely no barrier, really, to podcasting. So that's great. Now, you started with your first podcast was about tech startups?
That's correct. Yes, I was writing an article on four Ukrainian tech startup companies who started off in Ukraine, but then subsequently opened up offices in the U.S. for sales and marketing purposes. And I wrote the article, and it appeared in the Ukrainian Weekly in April. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Ukrainian Weekly is the oldest continuously printing English language Ukrainian newspaper out of the U.S. And I, as part of doing the research for the article, I actually recorded interviews with the people that I was speaking with. And so I decided, why not put them up? And so I put them up on SoundCloud, and they're up there now along with six or seven other ones. I continue to do this on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. And so you write articles then for various different papers, and that's basically, that is what constitutes your content then for your podcast, yes?
Not necessarily. As you know, working in audio and in broadcast is very different than writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're writing, you know, you tend to get down in the weeds a little bit more, and you can go off in different directions and so forth. With the podcast, I mean, my podcasts typically run 10 to 15 minutes. They're really short audio clips.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to really get to the heart of the discussion in those podcasts and don't have a lot of time for extraneous details, which you can do when you're writing.
True enough.
So the podcast is kind of different than writing an article.
So it's a new skill set you're learning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you are enjoying it.
I am. Very much so.
So tell us about some of the podcasts that you've published already, some of the people you've spoken to in tech startups. You were telling me when we spoke off the mic that one of them was very, very well known, being Grammarly. That was a surprise.
Yes, I haven't actually spoken with Grammarly yet, unfortunately, but I've talked to a number of other companies, and they really range from software companies to companies that have new applications to help in the energy market, mm-hmm. and in the agriculture market. I was in Ukraine this past summer in Lviv in July. And while I was there, I interviewed an organization called Lviv IT Cluster, which is actually trying to help startup companies in the Lviv area.
Ah.
And so, you know, it really ranges all over the place. Recently, I interviewed a company that is producing electric bikes in KU and is now trying to market them around the world.
And Riedel was one. I was fascinated by that one. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, Riedel has been around, I think, since 2007.
Right.
They came out early on the iOS Mac platform. And what they do is they create software applications, productivity applications for the consumer market.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a word processing application, a personal calendar, and a number of other things. And they're very successful. And they completely bootstrapped themselves when they started and never really took a large capital infusion from any outside investors. And, you know, they have a presence now globally. Their engineers, for the most part, are still in KU, but they have a large presence in Silicon Valley now as well for sales and marketing.
Yeah, and many of them have. Like, they have a foot in both continents, in both countries, either, well, yours in some cases here as well. We've got software people here on Vancouver Island from Ukraine, and they're kind of, you don't even know, you might see them maybe on the street, not have any idea that you've got these incredible geniuses, these successful business people in our midst. So you also, I noticed, have had on venture capitalists on your show as well.
Yes, I interviewed the Ukrainian Venture Capital Association, which is based in KU. And that is really a trade association for venture capital companies in Ukraine. And I think they represent maybe, I don't know, 20 to 30 venture capital companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also interviewed a specific venture capital company, A Ventures, which is one of the oldest ones in Ukraine and has been investing in a lot of tech startups as well. And then beyond the tech companies, in my second podcast, which it's the first podcast is called Made in Ukraine Tech Startup Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it at on SoundCloud. If you go to if you put in SoundCloud and Ukraine Tech in Google, it'll pop up. The second one that I'm doing, also on SoundCloud, is called Krynytsia, Krynytsya, AKA The Well.
The Well, yeah.
And on that particular one, I call it more of a Ukrainian lifestyle magazine. And I interview individuals around the world who, you know, traditionally don't pop up on the horizon in regular media. And so I've talked to people like Mark Hovansky, who heads up the Ukrainian Lemko organization in the U.S., OOL. I interviewed Nick Bilogorsky, who is actually a Ukrainian who came through Canada and subsequently settled in Silicon Valley. And his company, Cyfort, recently was purchased for many millions of dollars. And in addition to having a cybersecurity startup, he's also an angel investor in a number of other companies.
Hmm.
So I am sort of looking at some tech individuals on the Krynytsia side, but also getting into cultural and historical and genealogy there as well. For example, I interviewed John Pihach recently, who is the guy who wrote the book on Ukrainian genealogy. It's called Ukrainian Genealogy, A Beginner's Guide. And that was really a fun interview because genealogy happens to be one of my passions. I helped to found here in the U.S. a group called Nashi Predki, Our Ancestors, which meets twice a year. We have two conferences a year in Somerset, New Jersey. We meet in the fall and in the spring.
How long has that been going on?
Oh, that's been going on since 2013.
So you've got these two podcasts. You started out, though, with the tech, and you said that it was because of articles that you were writing. And then you thought, well, why don't I just do a podcast? So what was it that twigged you onto the idea of putting up the audio online? Anything in particular, or are you just...
That's a good question, Paulina. Over the years, I've always been interested in Ukraine and investment and what was going on in there in terms of some of the software development.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ukraine has traditionally been known as a place where companies from Western Europe and the United States and elsewhere would look for software developers. And so it's always had a strong outsourcing market
mm-hmm.
industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking at that a bit, and as I was looking at that, suddenly realized that there seemed to be a sea change going on in terms of what was going on in tech in the country, with a bunch of smaller companies starting up and actually producing their own products
mm-hmm.
and software
mm-hmm.
rather than just working for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, you know, the light bulb went on, and that's what gave me the idea of, hey, maybe be interesting to write an article. So I started researching it. I came up with four companies for the article. And then as I dug deeper and, you know, put the podcast up and so forth, I realized that this is a real trend going on with the young Ukrainian millennials who are in tech, that increasingly they are starting their own companies and they're not just staying in Ukraine, but trying to aim their products at a global market.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it all got started.
And then you branched off from the tech into the other more cultural topics.
And yeah, exactly.
And you broadcast in English exclusively, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that is to, like me, I guess, to reach a larger audience. And many Ukrainians now speak English, so... It's quite, I guess, a good common base to not only people of Ukrainian descent who've lost the language, which has started out as my target audience as well, Mike. And then, of course, you find all these other people that are interested. They had Ukrainian neighbors growing up, or one member they married into a Ukrainian family, and maybe nobody ever learned the language, but they had the
Perohe, and they had the borscht, and they had the babas, and, you know, and they remember that fondly. And then other people just had neighbors, or they knew somebody, grew up in it with people surrounded by Ukrainian people in their community, and they wanted to know. And they also wanted to know about the home country, as did, I think, many people with Ukrainian roots. And now, of course, since 1991, it's pretty easy to connect now with the homeland. And you're doing that with your podcast.
Right. And I think in particular with the Euromaidan revolution in 2013 and 2014, when President Yanukovych was forced out, I think Ukraine really got on the map of media in the West. And so since then, there's been a lot more written about Ukraine and, you know, Ukrainian politics and so forth.
Right, right. And especially now it's, again, in the spotlight, although maybe not in the best with this political situation in the States with the Russia collusion and these people that are being looked at right now involved in Ukraine. So, and I'm finding, I don't know if you feel the same way as I do, there's the water is very muddy. Because really a lot of the journalists in not just the States, Canada, but in the West don't know anything really about Ukraine. They don't know the nuances, they don't know the history, they don't know the motivations of why things happened. And I don't know if you're finding that it's kind of what you're getting in the news, the mainstream news about Ukraine is not really clear, not very accurate. And I think maybe your podcast and mine, hopefully, will help to inform the public and, you know, maybe even some of those journalists. Because
absolutely. What I call it is going beyond the headlines for Ukraine.
Because well put.
So many of the headlines now are all about the war in eastern Ukraine and all the negative stuff.
Yeah.
And really what I'm trying to do is to get underneath and show that there is a lot of positive going on. And that people should be aware of all these positive trends.
Well, I think that's fantastic because, I mean, I try to do that too, but more on the cultural side, just kind of share the music. And, you know, mine has kind of been my approach from the beginning has sort of been a kind of a nostalgia thing. Although more recently since Maidan, you kind of, it's the elephant in the room you can't ignore, right? So we got into that as well for a while until, again, things kind of settled down back into the old new normal. And, you know, we're distracted again with our own things here in the West. But I think that it's really important to not forget about what's going on. And of course, these, as you mentioned, Ukrainians are here amongst us. They're moving back and forth. They're bringing their knowledge and their expertise to our world. And we should know who these people are. And I think that your podcast, your tech startup in particular, is very valuable. And thank you for doing it, as well as the other. Tell us a little bit more before we wrap things up about your Krynitsia, because that's more of a kind of thing of a fun one for you, less business and more fun.
Yeah, Krynitsia, I can pretty much talk about anything in there. So, you know, it really ranges from cultural organizations in the Ukrainian community, to genealogy, to individual personalities. I'll give you another example. Tomorrow I will be interviewing a young guy here in the States from Brooklyn who has started a company called Hetmans, H-E-T-M-A-N-S. And the company is producing, believe it or not, wooden framed sunglasses that are hand carved in Kolomia in the Carpathian Mountains.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, isn't that amazing? I want a pair. Definitely want a pair.
I found him on Voice of America. They had done about a 3-minute clip about him, and so I contacted him, and it took a little time to track him down. But he's a young millennial guy. He's a Ukrainian from the U.S., and he got so intrigued by the idea of Ukrainian wood carving. Mm-hmm. He wanted to create something he calls wearable art. And so I'll be interviewing him tomorrow on the podcast, and that'll be going up hopefully towards the end of this year on Krynitsia.
Oh, wonderful. Look forward to that. So tell us again, Mike, where people can find your podcast.
Yeah, they're all up on SoundCloud. So if you go to Google and you just type in SoundCloud, S-O-U-N-D-C-L-O-U-D, one word, and the first one is Krynitsia, KRYNYTSYA. And the second one is Ukraine Tech, just as it sounds.
Okay, and all you need to do is Google or go to SoundCloud, and they'll find you. Now, what if somebody wanted to reach you? What is the best way to reach you personally?
Yeah, the best way to reach me is at michael.burik, B-U-R-Y-K, at Verizon, V-E-R-I-Z-O-N.net.
Okay.
And I really welcome people that have any interest in any of these things, including Ukrainian genealogy, because we like to keep in touch with our Ukrainian-Canadian cousins.
And we all like to keep up with our Ukrainian roots. So it doesn't matter where in the world you are, that one thing keeps us all together. And it's a very fascinating topic and very big, too, these days, genealogy. So again, SoundCloud or Google, Kudinitsia or Tech Startups or both, and contact Mike at michael.burik@verizon.net. And hopefully you'll have a website up soon.
Yeah, that's the next step.
It's always, and let me just give you a heads up on that. Prepare to do a lot of work.
Absolutely.
But it is worth it. That's how we met through the Nash Hollis website. So it's definitely well worth it. So look forward to that. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show again when that's up for sure. Let us know. And anything else, for the sake of listeners tuning in now, this is not the last you'll hear of Michael Burik on Nash Hollis. So.
Thank you so much, Pauline. I've really enjoyed talking with you and to your audience.
It has been. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care.
All right. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння на радіостанції CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо, говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in beautiful downtown Нанаймо. I'm your host, Павліна.
Embrace the Ukrainian culture, music, food, and dancing at Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, August 3rd to 5th, Dauphin, Manitoba. Your early bird weekend pass is only $85. Day passes and camping passes are also available. Purchase your tickets online at cnuf.ca.
Best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, shortwave, and satellite radio. If you miss the live radio transmissions of any edition of the show, you can find us in between broadcasts at www.nashholos.com for podcast links to all three editions of the show, as well as other audio features, transcripts, and more. As well, make sure to follow us on Twitter, like the Nash Holos Facebook page, and visit our blog. I do love to hear from you, so please send in your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже часто домові сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості.
щоб волю мати, треба спершу себе об'єднати. And our proverb of the week translates as, freedom is built on unity. And with that, we've come to the end of our program. So to wrap it up, we've got Zirka from Toronto with a traditional Ukrainian folk song and a pretty lively dance called Hanzu. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.
Забудь за другий, ой, ганджу люба, ой, ганджу мила. Зовсім не можу, ой, ангелюба, я тебе прошу.